and life for free. But you can give them to the best.
Well, welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm coming out. She's AV on the board. S&P futures up 650. NASDAQ futures up 37. Dow up 76. Most of that is Walmart, which beat. Gee, imagine that. Everybody else is closed. Walmart beats. I'm shocked. Brendan, are you with us, bud?
I am. How are you this morning, Chief?
I'm doing all right. I just continually am amazed at how we're picking winners with this, shall we say, uneven response to this pandemic. We almost wonder if these guys went and gave stock to various politicians. Just saying.
Well, you wonder about that, and I'm surprised that just a handful of the stocks seem to be boosting the market.
Everybody else going out of business except for them. So.
Yeah. What I do find interesting, though, is that there's not a lot of talk out of the administration about how strong the economy is right now because the stock market is so high.
Well, everybody else is doing it for them. Everything must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's put it this way. I don't even like to talk about it, Brendan, because I hope I'm so wrong, yet it's so obvious to me what's happening, and I don't know how you could have people talk for 8 hours on TV regarding the stock market. The stock's doing it. Let's see. You're erasing the entire underclass of merchants,
mm-hmm.
and shoving them into the top, 20 stocks. And, oh, by the way, you're pouring money into the system that's finding its way into the stock market, and you're going to have an inflation bubble here that's going to make the one in the 1970s look like kid stuff probably in 2 years. And nobody has escalation clause in their contract. There's no union contracts anymore. I don't know. You might as well stick the knife in somebody and just start twisting it.
Well, I've got a question for you. Since the market is supposed to be forward-looking and responding to where they think the market is going to be in 6 weeks or 6 months, what do you see happening around October 1st when all of the guarantees, like for the airlines, go away, that they don't have to lay people off?
Well, I think you're going to start seeing the numbers, even with the $600 not in people's pockets these last few weeks, you're going to see these retail sales numbers and everything, collapse.
Because that's what I think, too. But also a lot of corporations like the airlines are going to start having significant drops in their stock, even more than they have now. That's going to be a huge hit on the economy because a lot of the PPP loans, required the recipients to keep their people on staff for a while. That money's now going away, and those deadlines are going, but others had October 1st. And, the full expectation was that by October 1st, the virus would be completely gone and we'd be back to normal. But I don't see that happening.
I think the term would be, they shot their wad thinking it was going to be 90 days, and now it's not. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you do about that. I think they're not even close. And I think we have the idea that you could have GDP down 33% in retail sales and all that other stuff like up. obviously, Brendan, something's wrong, right? Or the numbers don't match.
Yeah.
How can that be? And manufacturing is down to, yesterday the Empire State number was what, 3? It was supposed to be 27 or something?
Mm-hmm.
These numbers are coming in terrible. Well, now you've had this essentially money from heaven, helicopter money they call it, that has gone to people's checking account, and they've been spending that, okay? Which is not bad policy for a while,
mm-hmm.
but there's a while to it. I'll dig this up here, Brent, so I might as well have this stuff current, so I don't just lob out bad numbers. I'm going to go to my debtclack.org, which I'm never supposed to do because all it does is aggravate me, but you've sent me there already in the morning, so this would be your fault. But you look at these numbers, and we're already talking about the national debt is up to, it's up like $6 trillion like this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's, the debt per taxpayer is up to 214 grand just on the federal level. And so that's a number. Matter of fact, your friend Joan Esposito, once in a while I go on her show. I love it. Joan's terrific. And she was saying, I don't have any debt. And I said, yeah, you do. She goes, what do you mean? And I said, you're a taxpayer, right? She goes, yeah. And I said, you owe the federal government $218 grand. And she says, I don't know why I have you on my show. I hear I thought I didn't have any debt. but the numbers, I don't think... it's not like anybody should spend their life looking at this stuff because all it does is aggravate you. But Brendan, we're talking about this, the states, federal tax revenue. All right, is $2.3 trillion. Income tax is 1.1. Payroll taxes, income tax 1.2. Payroll tax 1.1. So they're almost even.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The states, yep. States are 2.1 trillion. Okay, which is almost equal to the federal stuff. The local taxes are 1.3. So the so two of them together are like 3.5. They're almost 50% higher than the
federal government.
Than the federal government. So the idea that somehow the federal government, who's already has, you know, debt basically out the wazoo, that they're somehow going to be able to bail out not only the people but the states and the local authorities on top of it. I mean, Brennan, we're talking about asking the homeless guy to pay somebody's mortgage.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're not even. I mean, what do we think we're going to do here? I don't even get it. But I never thought I'd see the social things happening that are happening in this pandemic. I mean, you listen to TV all day, and I'm not casting aspersions to anybody. You listen to TV all day, and they're all talking about, you know, people staying at home, you know, wearing a mask, blah blah blah. In the meantime, everybody's hiring that are serving the people that are staying at home. I mean, who do they think these other people are? Green men from the moon? Who do you think's working at the Jimmy John's and a Domino's Pizza and the Walmart and the other places? That they don't count? They're not at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is stunning to me how many people think that they should stay home and get a paycheck while these other people are like serving them. Showing up with their toilet paper, showing up with their kitty litter, and by the way, their sandwich. You know, and they don't care how many people are distancing in the restaurant kitchen, do they? Or at the Walmart distributor, just give me my stuff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I never thought I'd see the day where America was like that.
I know. Yeah, but those numbers are also dwindling. I think a lot of the people who are home are taking a more constructive view of what's going on, but also they're not spending. They may be going to the grocery store more often to fill up their pantries, but I think that's a bigger problem, that they're not spending very much right now because they don't know when the end is in sight. I think there's a transition here. If even a couple of, like when you go back to May and June when people were locked down at home and the $600 a week for unemployment benefits were being paid out, people treated that like it was their regular income. Now I think people are trying to hoard as much as possible and not spending it at all.
Well, you're not a guy that hangs around at the Home Depot. Go there, you're not alone. Try and find a plant. You know, I mean it's pretty scary. So you go there and you'd be lucky to find a 2x4 sometimes. I mean, the amount of stuff going on at home, the amount of there's an awful lot of people that are home getting paid. But the mentality here, I don't know if we're ready for any kind of leadership, really. I mean, I think we're not. Everybody thinks. I mean, the new generation. I mean, they're more, you know, it seems like there's a lot of moral relativism going on, and everybody's their own boss. Everybody's an expert on everything.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be. But how do you have a school like? I mean, I've been, you know, as you know, because of the people that come on the show that are pretty darn expert on a lot of this stuff, and. And of course, all the listeners send me all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've been reading about this, you know, pandemic since day one, really, since February. And because we had people from, they talked to people who were from China and said how big of a problem was over there, even though we weren't even getting the news before then.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember in the early days when you were talking about hundreds of thousands of people over there, not the 80 to 100 people that were disclosed. Yep.
And you walk your way through this, and it's been so obvious to me, you know, the horrendous thing we're dealing with, but then the good news has sort of kept coming, and how much worse it could have been. Now, granted, you don't want to be one of those guys that says a guy got hit by a bus and he only lost an arm and a leg. If he was lucky, he wouldn't have got hit by the bus, right? I mean, I get that part, but the idea that it turns out we did have some sort of a residual immunity that finally Fauci mentioned like 2 weeks ago. So 50% of the people appear to not be going to get it right now. Now, whether they won't get it forever, who the hell knows? But the fact is, they didn't get it right now. So those horrific numbers that people were originally tossing at people in February and March turns out to have not played out at all, right? Which is a good thing. But the idea, I mean, when they, but it's still a very contagious disease that people that have it don't know they have it. So therein lies the rub. So the first time I read an article that explained all that to me, explained it to me, as they say in the South Side, I knew we had a problem. We had a big problem. Fortunately, it hasn't gotten as deadly as it could have. But now, look at North Carolina. They bring all these kids back to school, and guess what? They get a little bit of an outbreak. And they close the school and send them all home. You got, everybody's got to be someplace, Brendan. Why not just put them in the school infirmary, or why not have planned a dorm that only was for people who tested positive, and you put people in there and you keep them for 10 days, then you let them go back to another place? I mean, what is this constantly sending people to other places thinking you're dealing with something? I mean, New York, the guy who everybody thinks is the hero, he basically sent people home and sent them back to the nursing home and didn't count them and didn't test them. Okay? So now guess what? New York's numbers are way down because everybody already had it that was going to get it. I mean, there's no mystery there. There's no genius there. I mean, the people in China, I mean, I'll be very blunt. The people in Wuhan province, from what I understand, what they did is they sent everybody home from the factories, say, go home, lock yourself in, do not come out. Okay? But everybody still had it, Brendan. They brought it home to the parents. The parents died. They threw the bodies out the back door. And the people who survived, 10 days later, came out the front door and went back to work. That's not exactly dealing with a problem. It's putting it out of your way and picking up the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so how many people in China had it? Well, you didn't test anybody. We don't care. If 14 days later you're healthy enough to come to work, you came back to work, we don't care. By the way, you have half your family died. Well, it's too damn bad. I mean, anybody, and there's people here who think they did a good job over there, better than us. What are we talking about, Brendan? How many times have you heard that? That China has, is that what everybody wanted to have happen here? Slam somebody home, lock the door, and we'll see 14 days who walks back out?
Well, the same was true in Italy. I mean, Italy was a more total lockdown, too, where they allowed nobody to come out except to go to the store and get some food.
Yeah.
It was the same type of a thing. But, you know, we talked about this several weeks ago, about, you know, which is better, the so-called Swedish model, where you let things keep going the way that they were and let the numbers fall where they may, with a certain number of people dying and accepting that as part of the risk for the betterment of the economy, or do you lock people down and don't let them out at all?
Well, but the point is if you don't know what you're dealing with, again, it's this class thing. Oh, who's in that house? Oh, it's a Hispanic family. Do they have it? I don't care. All I know is they're not bothering me. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's essentially what happened. Why do you think Chicago's numbers are so low? Hispanic community, those people went to work every day. They never stayed home. Guess what? It blew through their area in March and April like dinner through a goose. That's why they don't have it anymore. They have herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do we think we're doing here?
I'm not sure the numbers bear that out. I think it's the jury's still out on how the numbers are going to be in Chicago, because I think they're starting to rise again. But I understand your argument about the whole idea about herd immunity. But from what I understand, there really aren't that many places, certainly not around the country, even in places like New York where the numbers are down, where herd immunity is really the reason for that. And I don't know that they know the reason for it, but I don't think that the herd immunity argument is the one that's carrying the day right now.
No, it isn't carrying the day at all, but it should be. If you look at, if you figure the number of the residual immunity, which the guys never said we had, but of course we do, it came from some, you look at the people on the aircraft carrier, you look at the people on the cruise ship, the story isn't, if you listen to Fauci, early on, now granted he's learned, I mean I'm not pointing this all at him. If you listen to Fauci, there was absolutely, it's a brand new virus. Nobody had any immunity whatsoever. Every single person in a cruise ship should have got it, and they didn't. Same thing in the aircraft carrier. Every single place people have been that should have got it, they should have got it, and they haven't. So the number, even Fauci admitted 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that it looks like 50% of the people are, for whatever reason, have some immunity to it. Maybe it was a cold this year they had earlier, whatever it is. All right, so if you take that number, 50%, and you look at the amount of test numbers, everybody who's done a study says that the amount of people that have actually had it are 10 times more than the test positive. So if Illinois has 200,000, the number is really 2 million. Okay, and every state that's done a random sample has confirmed that, pretty much, between 10 and 11. So if, mm-hmm. if you take the 50%... You take the 50% number, and then when the other number gets to like 15%, people that already have had it, And that number, the total then is now 65. You start to see the numbers roll over in every single place.
Uh-huh.
In New York, Chicago, as soon as you got to, how come you don't hear about Arizona anymore? As soon as they got to that number, they rolled over. Yeah, now they're not in the news. Nobody says the numbers in Arizona are going down when they get to this number. They go around to another place. Now, it doesn't mean, Brendan, that if there's a, you know, Centralia, Illinois, finally get somebody walking in there who's positive, could the same thing happen in Centralia? Absolutely. Because we have so many places in this country. I mean, so how come on the Illinois numbers that they're talking about now, Illinois numbers are up? Yeah, but they're not where it was before. They're in Rockford, they're in Peoria, those kinds of, not those kinds of places. They're in new places.
Yeah, Metro East around the St. Louis area is a big hot spot now.
Yeah, so, but I'm saying that area will flare and burn out. And I don't see, until we get a vaccine that works that people are willing to take, I don't see how that doesn't continue, Brennan. But you can't scare the people in Chicago because of the numbers in East St. Louis by just giving an Illinois number.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, let's tell people. I thought from the beginning this thing was going to be more of a problem than anybody else did, because as soon as I read that it was multiple times more contagious than SARS, and people knew that didn't know they had it the first 4 days, in February I said this thing's not containable. There's no way it's containable. And guess what? It's not. It wasn't then, and it's not now. Yet these half-ass attempts to contain it or push it off or extend it out a year if you're the ones that want, because you want to stay home getting paid. Someday, somewhere, we're going to have to send people back to work and say, okay, we think we have some sort of a turn in the numbers of herd immunity. It doesn't mean you can't go out tomorrow and get it. Absolutely does not. Okay? I mean, but the point is the numbers have turned down to where the hospitals aren't full, right? You can get in. I mean, the doctor's offices aren't full. It's a bad disease, but it's not at the point where the whole school system should be shut down. University of North. Brendan, where are they sending those kids? Back home?
They're sending them back to the dormitories and telling them to stay in the dormitories.
I thought they were sending them home.
I don't think so. I think they sent them back to the dormitories. What they did was halt all in-person classes, so that wherever they were, they were not sending them back home to, you know, to California or to New York or to Mississippi or wherever they're coming from. They're staying in the local area because the anticipation is that the classes may come back online or back in person in a couple of weeks.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Carolina is a huge, University of Carolina is a big place.
Yeah, there's like 20,000 kids in there.
No, but I'm saying there's a lot of room, all right?
Yeah.
So I get a load of this. Somebody, I don't know who they did, they did me a favor or not, hooked me on to this coronavirus like hotline thing where people send all these questions in and doctors opine and stuff. It's pretty interesting. They asked some guy last week, said, now how exactly, what is your best chance of getting this thing? Where do you have to be? And the guy says, well, you know, it kind of could happen anywhere. You can't say that it can't happen in a washroom or whatever. He said, but by and large, it looks like a group of people in a room with closed ventilation for over 15 minutes, less than 6 feet apart, like way less than 6 feet apart. Sounds to me like home or a dorm room, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like a classroom.
Yeah.
Does not sound like a classroom. I mean, the idea that people think you can get it outside walking down the sidewalks next to somebody. I'm not a scientist, Brendan. I'm not saying that, you know, a one in a million chance a window could come out of the window and cut your head off too, right?
Or,
you know, and you could hit by an asteroid. The chances of you getting this thing walking down the sidewalk, I'm going to say, are 1 in 20 million.
I agree with you. It's pretty rare for outdoor activities, which begs the question why there aren't things like beaches open and things like that. But you're right. When you're looking at outside ways of getting and contracting it, that's very unlikely. The higher likelihood is in a room that has multiple people in it, and you're in there together with people for more than 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, I don't know how we got them, Brendan, but we do. We have several listeners now that send me nice emails from Australia, and we have several from UK. And just as we have suspected, Carl, of course, brought this up, the places that absolutely spilled this virus all over the damn place were the hospitals. there should be a massive investigation on the billions of dollars that were spent on these hospitals, and yet they're not designed at all for somebody to walk in with an infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pulcheri on the show, he's not on today, but he's on every Tuesday. Kenny got it, picking his daughter up in a hospital.
I remember that. I remember that a couple of months ago when he said he got that and came back. He was gone for a while, and then he came back and told us that story.
The hospitals have absolutely been the epicenter of this disease. So I guess the lady in UK writes me, and she goes, yeah, I had it. So I write back, how'd you get it? Well, my husband works in a hospital. He came home with it. Okay. I mean the nursing homes, the amount of people who went there basically with their hospital scrubs on and served dinner. One of the guys who calls in once in a while, I won't use his name, but they're involved in these nursing homes. One guy from the hospital infected 45 people in a nursing home, serving dinners with his hospital outfit on. Never changed it from when he was working on COVID people in the hospital. Duh.
Well, I agree with you that nursing homes and hospitals have a high rate, but I think that there are other places, too, that are really troublesome, and that's where the rub comes in with opening up the economy, is where are the safe places and where, what is the purpose of shutting down places right now? Is it to prevent the spread, or is it to shut down the economy and try to get rid of the virus?
It's keeping the virus away from me, if you're in a position to do it. But if you send the janitor at the school home and he's got it, all of a sudden his family gets it, right? The place people get it is at home. And the lower the economic class, the more likely you have the more people living at home and more generations living at home, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, I can be on CNBC and be a big shot, and I think everybody should stay home. By the way, I got a 10,000-square-foot apartment in Manhattan, and people are showing up at my door with sandwiches and dinners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, well, that's cool, but that's not everybody. It's not my friends. Right?
I understand that point, and that is a huge disparity in where people can go and what their risks are.
How many people that go to the drive-in? There's a place out by Audrey's in Orlando. I forget the name. It's one of the sandwich joints. It's not Jimmy John's. It's one of those things. And Brandon, when in the height of this thing, I go, who the hell is that? Because I went out to pick up Chinese food, and of course you had to go into the counter and get it right there and use your hand sanitizer, which is fine with me. I don't want to cause anybody any issue. I'm wearing a mask and all that stuff. I don't want to make anybody afraid. Never would. I see about 30 cars in line. Brandon, I'm going to bet that if you walked in there, you'd find the people making the sandwiches are basically asshole to elbow, and I don't know if they're wearing a mask or not, or whether it even matters at that distance, and it probably doesn't. And do you think people outside care about those people?
Well, not if they're getting their food.
No, but I'm saying, do you think anybody really, the idea... The Domino's Pizza is hiring 20,000 people to serve more pizzas because we've put all the other pizza joints out of business. Does anybody care when you call Domino's where those people live? It's I've never seen a more class thing like this in this country ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I totally all wet? I mean, you're my counselor on this.
Well, I think it's interesting that the people who are in these jobs right now, whether they're post office workers or whether they're at Jimmy John's counter making food in the back room or what have you, that they're the so-called essential workers.
Yeah.
Essential to keep things running. The bus drivers, for example. And yet, they're not paid like essential workers.
Okay. I would say you're correct. I mean, what do you think happens if the guy at CNBC at home, if the guy doesn't show up with his mail? Those guys worked every day. The bus drivers have worked every day, right?
Yeah.
I was at the club last night. The club's got, now we only got a minute here, Brennan, but we have 75 minute launch windows, right? So you got to sign up in advance. Well, guess what? I've been there yesterday. It was a new record. I go at 3:30 to 5, and there's 4 people in the place.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get in, get your duds on, run out, do a half hour on the bike, a couple of weights, maybe a couple of sit ups, and head for the shower and shave. You're lucky to get out of there in 75 minutes, man. You're hustling the whole way. What started out is 45 minutes, which was totally useless. So now we're up to 75. And one of the guys in there, you say, when are all these other bleeps going to go back to work like everybody else been working every day? at some point, we'll talk about it after the break. SP Futures up 550, NASDAQ Futures up 34. Big mover is Walmart up, well, it's only up 240 now. It was up like 6 or 7 earlier. It was up 250 to 138.14. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Houchies. AV Angelica Vlasenko on the board. Brendan, what do you think about AV's turn to the right?
I missed part of that question. You faded out.
I said, what do you make of AV's turn to the right?
I'm not turning to the right.
She's in the middle. She's in the clutches of Lou and Kevin and Mr. Flanagan now.
Well, you know, I think that your influence, Chief, is spreading.
You think I influence her to the right?
Yeah.
I'm a middle guy, totally. Maybe even a little left of middle. Although
but the middle is a lot further to the right than where she was.
I don't know about that. I think she might have been a secret righty the whole way. Just thinking. SP Futures up 5, NASDAQ Futures up 30. She's like one of the women for Trump or something. I don't know what she's turning into. Dow Futures up 84. Anyway, DAX up 122.1%.
I missed you. What did you say?
I said you're almost to the right of Trump now.
No. It's just I'm against everyone.
There you go, Brennan. She's against everyone. FTSE up 19.
So you're far right and far left at the same time.
Yeah, she's everywhere. I'll tell you what, it's lonely in the middle, though, Brennan.
It is. I agree.
I tell you what, the tyranny is coming from both sides. It's mm-hmm. pretty scary. Anyway, CAC around up 25.5%. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 45. That's not much, 0.2. Shanghai, which was up huge yesterday, is up another 12 points today, 0.4%. Hang Seng up 20. So pretty quiet, Europe and Asia. Just as a refresher on yesterday, the Dow was down 86, S&P was up 9, NASDAQ up 110. We've got bonds, 0.67, head back down again, which is sort of the rates are. It's not, you know, whatever. Doesn't bode well. That's what the bonds are telling you, recession's coming and coming hard. The stock market, not so much. Blend minus 0.45. Japan, positive 0.04. We've got oil down 17 cents, but it's pretty steady right here at the 42.72. Brent, 45.29. Natural gas, 237. That's up 3 cents. RBOB, 126, where it's been for really quite a while. Gold back up over 2,000, 2013. Silver up 68 cents, 28.35. Copper up a penny, 291. Boy, I got a big a welcome from Mr. Warren Buffett. I had some calls in the GOLD, Barrick Gold, and I thought they were dead. They weren't dead. Well, when those guys, Warren Buffett's group, went and bought some of the Barrick Gold, I was actually able to make a couple of bucks on those tomorrow. I thought they were DED dead, Brendan, but they were not. What do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, Miss A.V.?
Good morning, friends. It's 73 degrees in Chicago. Partially cloudy. The temperature is slightly below normal and will warm up back above normal into the weekend. Expect comfortably cool overnight. The highest of the day should be 76 and the low is 63. Also, heads up, the dangerous swimming conditions are expected on Lake Michigan, so try to stay away from the water. And sunny and clear in Phoenix. Excessive heat warning remains in effect until Thursday. The highest of the day in Phoenix is 114 and the lowest 89. In traffic, we have a crash reported on Dan Ryan inbound at 83rd that blocks the left lane with vehicles on the right shoulder as well. Traffic slows down before 87 as a result. And in our favorite sports report.
Oh, God. AV is not all that happy. Sports is back going, Brendan, if you can't figure that out.
Not even with
that.
The power of the White Sox?
No, not even. She's just, you know, she's just not much of a sports girl.
I just don't have, like, legit sources.
Yes.
Okay, the Cubs lost to Cardinals 1-3. White Sox beat Tigers 7-2. And Diamondbacks won Athletics 4-3.
Except the Cubs had a second game where they won. They played twice yesterday.
Two games in a day?
Yep, it was a doubleheader, and they broke their losing.
So, Brendan, you're blipping a little bit here. But what do you think of the Cardinals renting the 41 cars and 41 people driving up individually? Do we have Joel?
I would have liked to have been the cop on the sideline watching the first car speed and seeing the other 40 cars behind him and trying to pull all of them over.
Yeah, well, Brent, we have Joel with us. Hey, Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. First and foremost, how are my friends in Chicago? How is the city of Chicago? You don't know how upset I was after last week's call.
It's pretty. You know what the good news is?
Very sad.
First the big guy upstairs sent us the pandemic, so now there's nobody downtown. But now the lake keeps rising. Another 10 feet, you're not going to have a downtown. It'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll just be gone.
Oh, Jesus, Murphy. I heard that in the update. So the lake is kicking up, huh?
The lake is, you can't, it is more dangerous than right now. You don't want to be anywhere near it swimming. I mean, it's pretty awful. They had
rip currents there that are just pulling people out. I can see some of the lakefront from my window, and I was here when the young kid fell into the water, went into the water at Diversey, and they didn't find his body for a couple of days after that. And it's quite frequent now. The drownings are up because of people who are on the waterfront. But homes are starting to fall into the lake because of the erosion problem along the North Shore.
Well, you know, the area where the there's between beaches, they actually have a concrete, you know, whatever you want to call it, breakwater. The water is so violent around there. This kid, I know somewhat about it because one of my attorney friends, Greg, who's been on the show, his son is in the same class as the kid. So the kid falls in. The fire department divers didn't even want to. They said it's like a drink mixer. If you get into the water right near that concrete thing, you can't swim. Used to be you could swim along there. People did.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't anymore. Yeah. I mean, if you tried it, you'd be banging up against that concrete like you were a sardine. I mean, it's
yeah. Well, it's amazing looking at, you know, there are these cement breakwaters that go out between North Avenue and Fullerton. And the water is over the top of them. You can't even see them. I was walking along the lakefront the other day, and the wall that separates the lake from the shore is no longer visible. The water is high enough over that you can't even see where the wall ends or the water begins. The water is up, I'd say, 15 to 20 feet onto the sidewalk and bike path around Oak Street Beach.
Joel, did you ever, when you were here, did you ever like go walking in Lincoln Park, like by Diversey?
Oh, of course, yeah. You mentioned in Diversey. I lived, you guys ever heard of Hampden Court?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's two blocks of Hampden Court, and on one block of Hampden Court, there's five apartment buildings. I lived in three of those five apartment buildings within the 5 years. I kept on moving. I went to one, I went to the other, then I went back to the one that I was in. Do they still have that grocery store there, Rob and Save or something like that, or Shop and Rob?
I don't think so. They must have something.
Right on the corner?
Well, you know.
And then,
you know
what? Yes.
Rob the Shop.
You ever had
the wings? You hung around Yassi's.
Oh, yeah. You go down, kind of go into the basement there, and, yeah, those are great memories. But, man, I'm sorry to hear what's going on in the Windy City. Maybe you guys should, pick up the transmitter and go to the Arizona station. Maybe, well, I don't know, a lot of cases out there. But, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I called one of my best buddy's daughters lives in there in Chicago, and I called her up, and she said she was doing okay. But market doesn't seem to care, Chief.
No. Well, look at the amount of cash we're piling in. I mean, it's a very odd situation. What do you think, Joel? I'll ask you. What do you think happens if we get two or three more hot CPI numbers?
I think gold and gold's already telling you what it thinks about that.
I've had since we've been talking a little bit about inflation, of course, every day now. And please don't stop. Keep calling. My listeners send in. They'll give me the stuff is jumping, Joel. Somebody yesterday sent in, it was like two things up on the North Shore. It was like, but it was like $50, and now it's like 80. It's not going to like 51 or 52. And they're talking like dinners, and David was talking about how he goes to some place, he's been getting a Polish hot dog forever, and now the price is the same, but they went from like 8 ounces to 5. The Polish hot dog. It's to say, he says, what happened to the hot dog? Used to be over the end of the bun, now it's buried in the bun. Oh yeah, well, we had to cut back on the hot dog to keep the prices the same. I mean, it's
you know what? One of the only things, commodities, and I know some people are products, consumer products, that I know, and people are going to talk about the quality, but one thing has gone, in my opinion, way up in quality and down in price. And you know what that is?
TVs, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I just got rid of one, this huge one I paid like $5,000 for. I don't know how long ago it was, this big old monster thing. I mean, I had to get two buddies to help me get it out to the curb to trash it. And my wife goes online, she goes to Best Buy, I don't know if it's like a 50 or 60, I don't know how big this thing is, and I pick it up with one hand, it's light as a feather.
Yeah.
But, wow, unbelievable. But, just sports, Motor City Kitties are fading. That start was a mirage. I'm really worried what's going to happen now. Second, I'm working on a major sports article, Chief.
Are you
on
really?
Ann Arbor. It's college football. It's not going to be the kind of article you want to read unless you have a box of tissue next to you.
Well, what is it? What's going to happen to? Well, just in general, because we don't have that much time. But what is a hotel like? Say in South Bend. Well, Ann Arbor is more of a regular town than South Bend. But what percentage of hotel revenues are from the football season? It's got to be 15%.
It's Chief. No wonder you're such an oracle. I did include the Bell Tower Hotel, which has been in Ann Arbor since 1947. They were down to a 20% occupancy rate. They did not reopen until October 10th because of demand, and they lost millions of dollars. And that is right on the heart of campus, the old Bell Tower Hotel.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I mean, at some point here, are the kids in Michigan, are they coming back to school, or what are they doing?
They're coming back. Online classes, and then I think they're going to try and do some in-person classes. And boy, I feel so sorry for anybody who has kids and they're going through that and with the school and everything, but the world must go on. We must continue to educate our children, Chief. And just real quick here, watch out Walmart here. This thing is going to go red. This got up to almost 145.
Yeah.
And now it was up $9 from the close. Now it's about to go red here, folks.
What's that all about?
As Harlan Pine would say, sell the peanuts when the circus is in town. But I got to hop. Have a good day. We'll talk to you next week. I'll send you my article when it's out.
Please do. We'll tweet it out if you let us.
Of course, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, bud.
Bye-bye.
Sell the peanuts while the circus is in town. I don't know if I've ever heard that one, Brent. That's a beauty.
I haven't heard that one either. I'm going to have to start using that one. I like that.
That's a beauty, yeah. Sell the umbrellas while it's raining, I guess. Same. He's right, though.
Unless you've got a Brock umbrella.
Yeah.
Remember those?
I have an absolute collector's item umbrella.
What's that?
I have, and by the way, this is back when they handed out tchotchkes at like events. People spent a lot of money on them. Mm-hmm. I have a spectacular golf umbrella. The thing's huge. And I've had it for probably 20 years. It's Bear Stearns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can put 2-3 people coming from the truck into the station in the morning under there. Not socially distancing, but out of the rain at least.
Now, yeah. Do you still use it?
Yeah. What else am I going to do with it?
Well, I mean, for some of those things, they're so old, you want to keep them because of the logo on them. But I guess they're probably a higher quality than
It's the best umbrella I've ever owned. Otherwise, every other time I bought one, the thing lasted like one rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, I mean, it's made of like really tough fiberglass. I mean, I don't know how much the thing cost, but it wasn't like $5.
Mm-hmm.
It was real.
Yeah, and did you get that at a golf tournament? Did you go to a Bear Stearns?
I went to some
golf tournament.
I think I went to a CBOE outing, and they were handing them out there or something.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Hey, we were talking about, and you know, it comes down to a question of, well, yesterday I read something that I thought was amazingly nasty. Some lady in this coronavirus hot thing that people send to me, the lady's sister had lupus or has lupus, and she is in a hospital. She now caught the virus and she's having a rough time, which obviously some people are. And it's a shame, obviously. And now, but she hopes that the non-mask wearing person who did that to her sister rats in hell or something like that. I'm like, really? Like, she doesn't even know where the sister got it, where she's been, but it's going to be somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really going to go down that road? I think we are.
Well, I think we are starting to get down that road, unfortunately. And, you know, this is the thing that the virus doesn't stop at borders or walls. It's a virus that anybody can catch, you know, at any time. You can do things to reduce your risk, like, you know, we've talked about, even if it's outdoors, staying away from people, wearing a mask. But there's still no guarantee that you're not going to get it, no matter how many precautions you take.
I have a question. When, and I know somebody's going to say, oh, God, there's no definitive stuff that you... When are we going to make allowances for the 40 or 50 million people that have already had it?
Mm-hmm. Well, as that number grows, I think there's going to be more of a push to reopen and say that if there is immunity, although the last number that I saw was that they think it's about a 3-month immunity. But, you know, once people do have it, can they say legitimately, I'm a bartender, I've had it, I know I've got immunity now for 3 months, let me be one of the people who goes back to work and make money. And, you know, there's some good arguments to that for the people who are immune. But then are you also going to limit the people who come into the restaurant or come into the bar with just those who have had it and are also immune?
Well, I guess the point is just because other people don't want to believe you, does that take away your right to not have to cloister yourself? Now, when people say that, and again, I've never get a load of this. I went to Audrey's cousins for dinner. He's a great guy. Has a car dealership and so forth. He's had issues trying to get rid of smoking, right? Which I never give people any grief about because I know my parents, my mother, and I know people had the world's more willpower than anything, and that's the hardest thing they ever did was quit smoking. So, mm-hmm. I wish they would stop because it's not good for you. Plus, I don't like giving money to the state and the tobacco companies. But the fact is, it's not something you can really give people grief about because it's hard to do, right? So he tells me he dug up an article that says if you're a smoker, it's better for the coronavirus. It doesn't attack smokers as much. And I go, you know what, Eddie? Here's a disease that anything you want, any opinion you have, whether it's good, it's bad, it's not bad, you should wear a mask, you shouldn't, whatever opinion you have, you can go on the internet, you can find somebody corroborating your story in like a second. But now, do you know when they say 3 months, Brendan? I've heard a couple of years, like a flu. But name me one person that had it in February or March and has gotten it again. I don't know a soul. Do you?
I've not seen any support for that, no.
So when somebody says, oh, no, we don't know how long, we're not sure, nobody's ever sure about anything, Brendan.
Well, I do think that the some of that evidence was based on some reports out of places like South Korea and maybe even parts of China where there has been a second wave of people who had been confirmed with coronavirus who are now getting it.
I've been fielding these articles, there have been people, since some of the tests are really horse bleep and they have 5% positive, false positives, there have been people that have tested positive months later. Mm-hmm. But on a second test, they're not. So if you say just because you tested, they were never sick.
Well, that happened with the governor of Ohio, DeWine, just a couple weeks ago. He tested positive, did not have the meeting with Trump when Trump came to Ohio, and then later on in the day took two tests to prove to be negative.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is there's people that had it in March that if you took 100,000 of those people and jammed them in a line, you're going to get some positives. But they're mm-hmm. not. But they're not sick. Right, and if you give them another test, they probably wouldn't be. So,
the thing when you're talking about sick, are you talking about asymptomatic?
No, I'm saying, are you really contagious to somebody else, and are you sick? That's what I mean, having it. Is that because, not to be gross, but if you wander down the street and four people walk by you, like real close to you, you could have a few COVID cells hanging on a nose hair, and you're gonna test positive. Doesn't mean you have it. The next mm-hmm. sneeze, it's gone. That's why you have nose hairs, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what I'm saying is when we're talking about diseases, the people who talk about them and spread the stories should be very accurate in what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we're not. That's the part that really frosts me. I mean, why mm-hmm. can't we say yesterday they had who's the lady who's the head of Illinois? Illinois doctor, whatever the hell she is.
Ngozi?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had 1,500 positive tests yesterday. Now, why, Brendan, and I don't care if she's black, white, blue, male, female, I could give a bleep. But why am I paying somebody that can't be honest with me? Why the hell am I paying her paycheck? I want her the hell out of there. The reason why is because The story is we gave X number of tests yesterday, and we had 1,500 tests positive from the tests we gave last Wednesday because it takes us that long to turn them around. Why do they continue to match those numbers up on the same day when it's not accurate? We can't give it another 10 seconds of airtime? Why can't we have that little bit of a truth out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the delay in numbers between the test results and the test being given is horrific, and it skews a lot of the analysis. It skews a lot of the action that the government and doctors are trying to take, and that's a huge problem. And it's one that should be fixed. When you look at what's happening with places like the NBA or government entities, by government entities I mean like the White House administration, where they brag that Trump and Pence get tested 3 or 4 times a day. You know, they're not waiting 14 days to get the results of those tests.
They're doing a saliva test. They're not doing. Actually, Trump was using the skin prick test from Abbott. That's useless, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everybody's giving him so much grief about it. Remember,
they're getting test results back almost immediately. Why isn't that available to the public if they're really going to talk about the veracity of the test numbers? Then the results have to be turned
around
quicker.
That's my point. Somehow, some way, whoever these people are, they've decided you and I and the rest of the listeners and the rest of the people can't handle the truth. We hear what they. It's up to them. Somehow or another, when Lori Lightfoot got elected mayor, and I'm not just picking on her, or Jay or Trump, somewhere along the line, when they crossed the line on the election, they get to determine what information you and I can handle versus them. It pisses the hell out of me, to be honest with you. I mean, I guarantee you I can read numbers as well as she can, you know. But then all of a sudden now, oh no, we can't tell them that because they might think that. Why don't you just say, here's the amount of tests we gave last Thursday, here's the positives from last Thursday. And yesterday I was reading that any test that doesn't give a person a test back in 3 days is clinically useless.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, that you really need to have the test within 24 to 40, the test results within 24 to 48 hours to really be able to make that useful information.
Well, from what I gather, okay, and again, there's a million different stuff out there, the one that supposedly saved our ass in April was it Abbott came out with the thing where you poke your finger and it tells you right away?
Mm-hmm.
It gave you a positive in what? 2 minutes and a negative in 11 minutes, or was it the other, whatever it was. That's the one that Trump and those guys were taking in the White House. Because it was supposed to be the test savior. Well, after 2 or 3 weeks, the thing is panned as being nothing but false positives, nothing but false negatives. The thing's basically a piece of crap.
So, yeah, wasn't that the one that wound up with like a 50% accuracy?
Yeah. So then you go be back to the nose one. Now, there's a couple of different nose ones. Some you got to stick the thing up to your brain and some one you don't. And now those have to go to the labs, and those are the ones, depending on the state you're in, are anywhere between 3 to 4 to 10 days return. Well, what do? You have 10 days? If they tell you don't have it, what do you go back in line again? I mean,
or do you go back to work? You'd have to stay at home for those 10 days.
Right.
And then if you get tested again, does that mean another 10 days at home?
Well,
while you're waiting?
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, in those things, you have, one day I saw in New York, 50,000 people took a test and 1,100 were positive. 49,000 people had felt fine, got in line to take a test. I mean, what are we? And then there's the saliva one where you spit in the cup that baseball uses. That can be turned around in a day. And one of the companies that one of my buddies is doing some of those tests, and they're making $100 a test or whatever. That's how Major League Baseball can have 10,000 tests in a weekend. They're not using.
Yeah, but that's the thing that got the saliva test, because they're not allowed to spit during games right now.
That's probably a positive, I think. Anyway, Brendan, thank you very much, but might need you later in a week. Never know. Take care of yourself. S&P futures up 350, NASDAQ futures up 30. Walmart, it was up like $9, is now negative 62 cents. I don't know what's that all about. We'll look more into that on the break. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now. Right
here, right now, right now. Hello, Jackson. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV on the board. S&P futures up 375. NASDAQ futures up 23. The big story of the morning here is Walmart. It's up like $9 after earnings. Now it's up. It's like unchanged. Very bizarre. Do we have Jeff?
We do. Good morning.
How are you, buddy? Good to hear from
you. How you doing, man?
Doing good. What do you make? What do I talk to you about first? I got like five things on my Jeff list here. What I wanted to talk to you first about is, what do you make of this Kodak situation? Did you listen to Navarro yesterday?
No, I didn't. But it's an amazing story to see the resurrection of any company, particularly one for notoriety as opposed to, you know, value or innovation. You know, it's just interesting to see that we're actually talking about Kodak again.
Well, we're not talking about them in a good way today because...
Yeah, they, that's right.
You and I have touched, and I actually want to talk a little bit more today. We've touched about on and what is wrong with a lot of these companies. And I've been at a, I mean, I have my position, which I don't think people agree with necessarily, is that somehow this whole board structure is failing us. And of course, if you listen to, you know, some African American people, if we just put more African American on there, that would be the fix. I don't buy that. It's like having more black aldermen means aldermen are going to be purer than Pharaoh's wife. Well, that didn't work either, did it? But anyway, Peter Navarro came out yesterday. For those who don't know the story, the Eastman Kodak, although they got rid of the EK, they're now KODK, so Eastman's out. We don't know what happened to him, but
right.
they haven't done much for a while, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, they get like an $800 million loan or something.
Yeah, $765 million.
Yeah. To were they gonna actually make doses of vaccine, or were they gonna be part of the chemical group that made a chemical that went into the vaccine?
Yeah,
or something?
It was under the Defense Production Act. That's all I know. I don't know what the actual mandate was.
Well, the stock's trading like $2, right? So
right,
this is going to be announced on a Tuesday. On Monday, they have a double secret board meeting where they grant the chairman like how many more bazillion stock options at like $4 or something, or some ridiculous number, and they tell him he can like sell them like the next day or something. So the stock in the next 3 days, where did it top? It's like 62 or something. It goes from like 2 to 62.
Yeah.
And so then of course everybody tries to figure out how this guy get the. There was all kinds of unusual activity the day before on Monday. I saw some of it on our stuff here, Dr. J's stuff, and because I get that feed, and I saw the stuff. And I'm like, first of all, I didn't even recognize the company. I didn't even know they changed it from EK. That's how far it's been since I traded Kodak, Jeff. But so the thing runs up, and of course, the front running ahead of the thing, and it runs up there. Well, now they've actually took back the loan, right?
Well, yeah, it was never clear it was going to be issued.
Yeah.
That was one thing. It was always pure speculation. That was for pharmaceutical production, but there was never, it was never clear that it was going to be issued.
Well, now Navarro comes out yesterday and says, based on what I'm seeing, what happened to Kodak was probably the dumbest decisions made by executives in corporate history. Then he says, you can't fix stupid. Now, how much you want to bet not one of these guys get removed from the board? Not one. Not one resigns.
Yeah. Highly likely.
Yeah, it's
true. Right.
And nobody ever left Citigroup. Nobody ever left any of those places, did they? Well, the one lady left Wells Fargo to become...
How long did that take, even for the CEO to leave Wells Fargo?
Well, the lady is... what's his name? Who's our Senate guy? McConnell's wife.
Right, yeah.
And then she's... Chow. And she's what now? She left the board
Chow.
To become Secretary of Transportation.
Yeah. Ellen Chow, I believe. Yes.
No. Is it Ellen?
Or Elaine.
Elaine, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so some always crazy stuff week to week, isn't there, Jeff?
Listen, there's enough craziness to go around, you know.
What's the new magazine?
And then we've got the convention aired last night. Did you catch any?
I was watching the Cubs. I know I went back and listened to some of Michelle Obama later.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Well, at least you tuned into the candidate that they could have, would have, should have had, as opposed to, you know, picking the absolute worst possible candidate they could. Continues to amaze me that, you know, we have 4 years to select our best, and we managed to come up with the two worst possible candidates you can have at this moment in time. You know, Republicans have this, there's enough on Trump that speaks for itself, and, you know, he is a man of economic and health catastrophe. He's not the person likely to bring us together. And we end up with him, and we know why. And then the Democrats, after putting 23 people out there, come up with a guy who was completely written off, who's been running for the last 30 years, that no one has any regard for. There's no passion for this guy whatsoever. He is only a vote against something. And then meanwhile, you see on the first night of the convention who they could have, would have had. You know, I don't particularly have any great things to say about Michelle Obama's policy chops, but I think we all know she'd be a much better candidate for the Democratic Party, and not to mention a shoe-in for election. And that's who they could have had, but no, they've got Joe Biden. That's their man.
How do we? Well, Wayne was on a week ago Friday, or maybe it was 2 weeks, and he was saying that this is not that, quote, unusual in world history, that when you have times of serious stress and people are all over the place, I mean, the Germans did it with Konrad Adenauer, the French did it by bringing back, you know, an 80-year-old Charge de Gaulle or whatever he was, and you put those people in there, like, for a while just to calm things down. It's not unusual. I mean, he's not agreeing with it. He just said it's not like it's the first time that's ever happened.
Well, yeah, but that's not what happened. Biden wasn't selected to calm things down. Biden was selected as a result of an internal conflict because Bernie Sanders was clearly in charge. He was winning this. Remember, Biden got down to 7% in the prediction markets. There wasn't anybody who believed he was going to be the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. He was completely written off by the party. He came in third in Iowa. He didn't show up in Las Vegas. He was out of the running in New Hampshire. He was done. And Super Tuesday gets an endorsement by Clyburn in the South, and he's resurrected. But he was completely written off. But again, it's for the same reason that we saw 4 years ago. The DNC insiders said, hey, you know, Bernie can't be our guy. We can't have a socialist going up against Trump that any suit other than Bernie Sanders can win. So they picked the suit. You know, that's what they did. They picked the old white guy, actually. and then, of course, masked all that in charges of racism against the other party. But that's what they did. They just picked the old white guy.
Well, let's back up here, Jeff, because I think you can really add to this, because this has been a theme of mine now for kind of a long time. And AV, I'm sure, will, she's turning to the right, though, but I'm hoping you can help me get her back at least in the center.
Well, it depends how far she's turning from. Maybe she should continue to head in the right for a while.
Well, no,
she was too far to the left, then hold your path, AV.
No, she's to the right.
Why there's always only two ways, right and left?
Because that's what we're left with now. I'm in the middle, and I am, actually, Jeff could be with me. But other than that, I don't know a soul. It's lonely in the middle.
I could be in the middle because I'm going to vote. There's no way I'm voting for either the Republican or Democratic candidate. And once again, I'll be voting for a third party. And only because you have to vote for something. You can't be voting against something. Biden is only a vote against something. And Trump, whose policies, chops, I actually have more regard for, but, you know, as a human, as a person, I've no regard for him. So once again, I'm one of the more intelligent, well-written, politically absorbed members of the electorate who actually focuses on these issues is forced to throw a vote away to a third party strictly to try to get us closer to a third party system so federal funding can support third parties going forward. I'm still amazed. I'm amazed that Howard Schultz, Mark Cuban, Michael Bloomberg did not have the chops, guts, or instinct to start a third-party candidacy. If Bloomberg did not run as a Democrat, he would be leading in the polls today. It's that simple. I don't know what he was thinking to spend, you know, $1 billion running against Democrats. He could have sat out the debates. He could have watched everybody eat himself. And he would be in the running today, and he would be a moderate deserving of attention because, you know, at least Wall Street would like him, and progressives would like some of his policies, and you can't argue with his track record, and he is a voice of reason. It's one of the great stories of this. It's not just Biden coming out of nowhere like the phoenix rising from the ashes, completely written off, but Bloomberg, a man who really had this in the bag if he simply ran as a Democrat. Or Howard Schultz, if he had the balls not to be worried about coffee sales and chose to run as a Democrat.
Well, here, but I'm gonna agree with you, which you're not supposed to do on radio, but I'm gonna back this up some. a little bit of research I did, and the reason why I love giving Jeff jabs is because nobody does more research than him, because his stuff in his magazine is all very well researched and so forth. But I'm going to go back to I'll go back to 1968. Bobby Kennedy, the last time somebody was able to, a bunch of people running for the job, for the presidency, doesn't look like there's a clear winner. All of a sudden, Bobby says, you know what, there's a bunch of primaries left, I'm jumping in. I can still either get the nomination or I can jam it up to the fact, well, I'll be a shoo-in at the convention, right? So he wins someplace, then he wins California going away, then he gets shot, right? I can't imagine there being a connection there, but he gets shot. So you look at it, and one day, at a horrendous day last winter, I said, you know, I've got enough people calling in. I actually went from state to state. I did like 5 states, Jeff. And I tried to figure out what it takes to get on the presidential ballot. It's a goat bleep. You cannot get on. I mean, the last time the election, by the way, I voted for the same person you did. Because not that I give a rat's behind about the Libertarian Party, but I really wanted a party to get over 5% so we'd have another party. And of course, I even failed in that because they got to 4.6. But Kanye West, love him or hate him, I don't want to see the man as president. He's been at this now for 8 weeks, and he's on, what, 2 states? 1 state?
Yep.
Trump had no business jumping the Republican Party, but he did it because he has to. He had to. Same way with Michael Bloomberg. I mean, you have to pile in. The reason why the Democratic Party, I mean, Bernie Sanders, if ever a guy should be an independent, he's been an independent for 30 years. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, he tries to jump a party that he doesn't want to be in. I guess he caucused with him, but he never said I was a Democrat. Why the hell the party should bend over and let him in? I don't like the way, you know, Hillary moved him around. But the fact is, he wasn't a Democrat. You know, and he didn't bring
any vote. That's all true, but he waited long enough, and now the Democrats caught up to him. He is a Democrat.
Well, what I'm saying is,
he's more of a Democrat than Joe Biden is, in some ways.
Well, what I'm pointing at, the party is the, quote, party. And I'm not saying it should be like this, but when I helped Nancy Sheehan run for state treasurer, the Democratic Party doesn't have any money, never had. The Republican Party, people send money into the Republican Party because there are, quote, well, there used to be, Republican values. You know, they were against this, they were this, they were less government, less taxes. Now, where that's all gone, I have no idea. But the fact is, you could send a check into the Republican Party and you knew what you were sending it in for, whether you agreed with it or not. Democratic Party always seems to be, it's almost like Central America, where whoever the leader is, you get a whole bunch of people sending money in, or the next time you don't. In the last 20 years, I can't really tell you where, quote, the Democratic Party stands. So the chance of me sending them a check unencumbered are zero, Jeff. So Bernie essentially tries to hijack the party, which, you know, and Trump felt that he couldn't run as an independent. He hijacked the party. And the party was stupid enough to put 9 people on the stage, and he basically went around and insulted all of them, and because he's a TV personality, he was very good at that. He made these guys look like idiots, basically told them they had small hands, meaning, you know, what he really said was small. He wasn't talking about their hands, right? And he managed to insult everybody out of the race. And all of a sudden, now he's the Republican guy. But there are only, I mean, what is it, what's the man who said the difference between U.S. and Russia is one party? Right?
Sure.
I mean, the last time was the first time ever that a third party was on all 50 ballots.
Gary Johnson got 4.6% of the vote. That was an amazing turnout. It's amazing that they have no momentum from that at all.
But what did Ross Perot? Was he 30-some states?
It was about 30 states, and, you know, he did not break 4%. I think it was 3. I forget what it was, but... he was not on all 50 states.
Jeff, I'm going to say...
So it was an impressive showing, considering. Yeah. You know, but
this is, I think, and this is from memory, from a rainy, snowy day. I think if you... This is how unfair it is. I think if you wanted to be on the ballot in Illinois, I'm going to guess that Jeff Joseph would have had to have had, whatever, 90 billion signatures 3 months ago, at least. And the minute they're there, the parties who have their spot already on the ballot, by the way, they don't have to do signatures. The parties will immediately take you to court and go through every single page of those things, and they will absolutely bury you from state to state to state. Some states you got to register to be a write-in. So, meanwhile, if next week, if or 2 weeks from now or a month from now, Joe Biden decides he has a mini stroke or whatever, I'm not wishing that on the man, and they throw another name up there, they can change. It's not like Biden's on the ballot 3 months ago, where if you come off the ballot, if something happens to you after you worked your signatures on there, you can't let your wife or me run in your spot. All of a sudden, you're gone. I mean, the rules are so totally poured into this two-party system that you have to be a Trump, you have to be a Bernie, you have to jump the party because you can't get on there by yourself. And I think, basically, that sucks. And I think you might agree with me.
I do completely, and your point that you cannot adjust, you can adjust the candidate within the party, but you can't adjust the candidate outside, you know, for a third party candidate is really a big point. It's very true. And that just tells you how insulated these two parties are. But I would say on the other side of the equation, it's not as if the Libertarians, who had an impressive showing 4 years ago, didn't have 4 years to come up with a real candidate, you know, with a name other than Joe Jorgensen, right? Or that even the Green Party, Jill Stein, achieved some recognition. Who the hell is Howie, what's his name? It's not Mandel. Right. Howie Hawkins is the Green Party. No one knows these names. So how did you know they go from having visibility 4 years ago for both candidates to names that no one even knows?
But they're also obviously
and coming off of momentum too. It was a big fail. It was a major fail by these third party candidates.
Well, clearly, Bloomberg or Bernie, you would think, you know, Bernie could drop back into the Green Party pretty easily. But obviously, they don't. If you don't have the organization, if you don't have the stuff, they don't think they can win from there.
Yep.
I mean, something. I mean, how much does the?
Well, those are in the books. You know, there's only so much time in a day. But if there's books to be written right now, one of them is what happened to the third party candidates in 2020, and then the other one is how did Cuomo in New York be viewed as a communication genius during the epic fail that was his state's administration, the coronavirus. Those two stories, I'd like to see a writer, the equivalent of a Matt Taibbi or a Glenn Greenwald. I'd like to see them tackle those stories because they both need to be told.
Did you ever see the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
That was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah. It turns out he didn't shoot him. What's his name? Yeah. The governor of New York.
Jimmy Stewart.
The governor of New York is our Jimmy Stewart.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be three terms in the Senate, two terms in the Court of St. James, back to the Senate. That's going to be the governor of New York for doing such a great job in the pandemic when he didn't. Same way with Jimmy Stewart. But Jimmy Stewart was at least a smart guy.
Well, listen, it's a book that some publicists have to write. It was a great, you know, in crisis management, it was a great case study how just being in front of an issue and talking, regardless of what you say, you know, if you invoke empathy into your communication, even if everything you've done is wrong and the world is falling apart around you, that, you know, empathy is a powerful tool. We're such suckers for it. I mean, you know, and look how people fell for it. Meanwhile, I think if there's anything to read, you know, for listeners in general today, I've already sent this out on every platform I share good reads with, is James Altucher's story today about New York. I forget the title, but if you look up James Altucher and you follow him, who's a pretty good writer, extremely well accomplished on many, many different levels, he wrote a story about New York and why New York is over and not coming back. And it's very, very persuasive. And, you know, he begins the argument by saying, you know, New York has always come back, invoking 9/11 and, you know, the miserable city that it was in the 70s and then how it, you know, in the 90s, how it was flat again. But he made the point this time it's over. It's over. You know, everything from the collapse of the financial centers and the need for office space and the crime rates. CNBC this morning spent, you know, to their credit, spent a half an hour looking at
because this is a business network, and they're right to say, hey, this is a business issue. Crime rates in major cities skyrocketing, you know, violent crime, gun crimes and murder. And you name the city, you know, and of course, there are blue cities. There's no question about that. But you name the city, and you've got not a minor, but a major, discernible, material, compelling increase in violent crime. And there's no reason to believe that this is going to stop. And the cities, you know, New York particularly, is considering the tax base in New York, and now the threat to walking out your front door, and the shooting gallery that it's become, both with needles and guns, and the reason that you just don't need to be in an office anymore, that city's in a lot of trouble, and so are the other major American cities. You are going to see a huge shift of demographic and resources away from our major American cities, and losing American cities is going to be really rough in this country, because it's going to further, you know, racial inequality, income inequality. It's not going to make things better. It's just going to make things worse.
Well, this pandemic is furthered there more than just about anything. But
yes,
but you know, Jeff, we have various and sundry people that I hope people listen to, obviously don't listen to it as much as I do because I'm here every day, but if you put together all the people that come on the show and the expertise they bring, some economics, some legal, some whatever, and you put all that together, if you were to wrap a book around the last 50 shows and just go back and say, this person brought this up, it is an amazing chronicle of what's going on wrong here. I mean, you look at, I of course keep beating.
Well, what's your general observation of that trend? What summarizes the talking points of the last 50 shows?
It comes down to money. It comes down to people not participating. It's almost like the 20s. It reminds me an awful lot about the 20s, where there was this big overriding thing of invention and stuff, you know, with the internet and all the other kind of stuff. The overriding stuff of invention, and some people amassing incredible amounts of wealth, but they're not bringing anybody with them. I mean, you look at a lot of what these demonstrations are about. Well, first of all, you take people out of work and you take them out of school. What does it mean? Your mother or your grandmother probably told you idle time's the devil's plaything, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, of course, nobody's doing anything. You're going to go out and cause trouble. I mean, you and I would have done that in high school too, probably. But I mean, you look at some of these numbers here. If you actually listen to what some of the demonstrators say, there's one African American lady, and you know, she didn't dress all that well, and she didn't sound all that good, but she was going crazy about affordable housing, and everybody's like, turn it off, get that lady off TV. Median income, $30,770. Median income now, $34,000. Actually, I think that's light. It's more like $36,000. Median new home now, $322,000. Median new home in 2,166. These numbers are off the chart. And if we start pouring some inflation into the mix, which we are, serious big time here, we've offshored essentially child labor. We've offshored pollution. And we're buying stuff cheap from every other place. Nobody here can compete, in a lot of ways. And, everybody buys cheap crap from China. They love it. The same people who are Trump supporters because he's down on China can't wait to go to what's the place? The Swedish place, IKEA, is where I think even the meatballs are from China. I mean, can't wait to go there and buy a shot glass for a dollar instead of paying a dollar and a quarter for a U.S. I mean, this all has come home to roost, I think, right at the same time. And on top of it, we get a pandemic, which we sure as hell didn't need. But it's all happening no matter what, Joe. I mean, the stuff that the one percenters, and I keep accusing people that I always hate it when I do. Hell, my ticket in the Cub game was $350 in 1983 for my seat. If you put that in an inflation calculator, it should be $17 today. It's like $75.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even close to what most people. I was a you know, kid from the South Side. I went to Notre Dame. It was $3,500 a year, $4,000 with room and board. Now it's $70. I mean, what are we doing here? And the professors aren't making, you know, they're making CPI increases. They were making.
I went to Northwestern. Tuition was $4,340 a year.
One class, you got to take your MBA at University of Chicago. You got to take 20 classes. One class now is more than I spent for my entire 2 years.
Sure. That's right.
I mean, we're driving people out of this mess.
Yeah. Room and board was $1,600. Yeah. I could, $6,000 all in.
Yeah.
Which I can make bartending.
Well, yeah. You got a much better chow than we did. We had mystery meat 4 nights a week. So our room and board was $1,000. Of course, the bunks were from the U.S. Army back in the 40s, and we still had Army blankets on the bed. From the Army, right?
That's a little rough.
S&P futures up 550, NASDAQ futures up 53. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Great Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. S&P futures. I got that. My machine is jumping all over the place here. S&P futures are up 5.25. NASDAQ futures up 51. I'm going to have to get the rest of these markets a little bit here because I seem to have some issues. The rest of the markets around the world were actually up a little bit in Europe, but not very much. We've got gold as DAX up 122. Actually, they're up 1%. We're going to get the stuff here. I could kick it over to AV, but I'm going to wait. There we go. DAX up 78 now, sorry. 0.6%. FTSE up 4. So we'll call that flat. CAC around up 12.2%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 45.2%. Shanghai up 12.4%. Remember, those guys were up huge yesterday. Hang Seng up 20. Call that flat. Bonds, 10-year 0.68. The Bund minus 0.44. Japan unchanged at 0.037 positive. And oil up 40 cents, or I'm sorry, down 40 cents to 42.49. Brent down 22, 45.15. Natural gas up 7 cents, 241. Because these guys are going to the moon, Alice, because of the amount of natural gas being used in California and places for electricity. They've had rolling brownouts and all kinds of things over there. RBOB is 126. And I'm going to say Jeff's probably the only... We're not going to get this out of AV, even though she's our weather girl. Yesterday, what was yesterday, AV and Jeff?
What was yesterday's what?
What was unusual about yesterday? Weather-wise.
I don't know.
130 degrees.
Yesterday is a blur to me.
130 degrees in Death Valley, the highest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. that anybody trusts. There allegedly was
is that right?
Yep. Yeah, there allegedly was a 132 in 1912, but nobody believes it because the thermometer basically sucked. But yesterday was the highest recorded temperature ever in the U.S., 130 degrees in Death Valley. Gold now up 20 bucks, 2019. Silver up 79 cents, 28.46. Copper up a penny, 291. But Jeff has taken all his bars of gold and everything. He's trading them in today, getting them in the system, from what I understand. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
It's beautiful weather in Chicago, 74 degrees currently, partially cloudy. Temperature slightly below normal. Will warm back above normal into the weekend. Expect cool overnights. Today is the highest is 76 and 63 at night. Dangerous swimming conditions are expected on Lake Michigan. Try to stay away from the water. It's sunny and clear in Phoenix. Excessive heat warning remains in effect until Thursday, with the highest of the day 114 and the lowest 89. Chicago traffic is jammed on both I-57 and the Bishop Ford as you approach the Dandrayan merge following a crash on the inbound Ryan at 83rd. You may want to plan for extra travel time commuting the city.
I'd turn back if I were you.
No. Never turn back.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Never turn back.
Never turn back.
In sports reports, they have Cubs that lost to Cardinals 1-3. And White Sox beat Tigers 7-2, and Diamondbacks won Athletics 4-3.
I think it's fair to say, Jeff, that AV didn't stay for the second game, the second Cub game where they won. Just saying, you know. Jeff, I used to go to. You ever go to those first looks for the auto show the night before the charity thing?
Oh yes, only once, but yes, yeah, a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah. For those that don't know, that's the biggest charity event in Chicago. There's it's very hard to be, I don't know, is this politically correct? To be selected as one of the diseases that get to go. There's only like 8 or 9, right, or 10?
Jesus.
Well, but basically, right, there's, although that's kind of changed, but anyway, they...
Or a benefactor to one of the diseases.
Right.
You don't, yeah.
You don't have to necessarily be the disease, but one of my clients was the Chicago Lung Association, or Chicago, whatever it was.
Sure.
And then it was part of the Illinois. It used to be the Chicago Tuberculosis Society. You know, way back in the day. So they always put a bar and they put hors d'oeuvres and stuff beforehand. So it was really a nice deal. And but it's also fun to see all the men and the women who think that their tux and their formal gown still fit when they sort of really don't. It's quite a people show. Anyway, they had all these pictures up from like the old days. Jeff, I'm going to ask you this very simple question. What has happened to us as a country in terms of being able to get things done? Could we build Hoover Dam today? When I say this, there was back in the tuberculosis days, which obviously people were pretty friggin' afraid of. They showed a country schoolhouse, and they had all these kids in this class. They had taken down the walls and the ceiling on a winter day, nothing but snow around. Kids are doing their homework in their gloves, winter coats on, and the teacher standing up there in his winter coat. That's what people did because they were afraid of tuberculosis. They didn't stay home. The teacher didn't say, I'm afraid. By the way, send me my check. You can't tell me in these suburbs where you go and some of the mayors are pretty aggressive. They're saying, hey, take the parking lot. Put a tent up there. Put your restaurant up there. Get this business going. You go anywhere in the park in the suburbs. The places are alive. You might have a place to park because that's where the restaurant now is. You can't tell me that between some of the gymnasiums, some of the parking lots, some of the tents you could put up, that we can't have these kids in class if we wanted to, Jeff. But the idea that the union can say, nah, I'm just afraid, I'm staying home. By the way, don't forget my address where the check comes. You know, Jeff, that's not us. It's not my America. It just isn't.
Well, no, that's true. The will is there. There are students and parents that, you know, certainly want to be educated and want to see their children educated. At the university level, there's, you know, incoming freshmen that want to go to school. And there are some professors and teachers who want to teach, you know. But there's, you know, it's obviously become a very political issue, and everything is a political issue now, isn't it? I mean,
but yeah, why can't if you do that at Notre Dame, where they have all kinds of room, they only got 7,000 kids. You have two classes going in a football field, whatever. Put a tent. I mean, and if some guy gets it or a girl gets it, they go in the infirmary for 10 days. This is not that difficult, Jeff.
It isn't. It isn't. Listen, you know, I'll share on a personal basis. My daughter, who is graduated high school. Tough year to be a high school graduate,
yeah.
But you know,
no prom.
There's going to be tougher things ahead. So after a number of schools being selected to, she chose University of Illinois. I'm happy it's
a
Big
Ten
school.
Good for her.
And it's close, and we're thrilled with that. Took her down. Three days ago, moved her into the dorm. You know, tough emotional week to lose your oldest to go to school. She, she stayed with me the night before, slept in the same bed together, and hugged and kissed a lot, and thought about, you know, losing her to go off to college and the big moment it was, and had to bring her back yesterday. She tested positive. But you know, she went down there. She took her best shot and had a test down there, and she and many other kids from her dorm were sent home. Some people were appalled by that, but that's just how things work. Now, today I've got to get tested, and my son and my family, and I'm certain that I'm just absolutely certain, seeing how close we've been the last week, that if my daughter's positive, then I'm positive. But things move on. You know, you just deal with it. You just go. In sharing some of that information with people that we've made some contact with, at a distance, not physical content, and over the last week, just doing the right thing and sharing information, you just note the different sense of angst and anxiety that permeates our culture. You know, some people are crazed. You know, things happen, right? I mean, and this is what happened to my family, and we're all going to be all right. And if we won't, then that's something that you can't control, and you don't worry about what you can't control. But there are people that are just crazy about all of this, and they're just not thinking straight, you know. And I know my daughter's going to be fine. I know I'm going to be fine, and the rest of my family is going to be fine.
Do you think she's got it, or do you think it's a
false
positive?
And you know, if anything, it'd be nice to get this behind. I mean, I'm working towards family herd immunity, and we'll find out today.
But
I already have my daughter right now at home, here with me, quarantined, and dealing with it. So you deal with it. You move on. Everybody has just become such a bunch of...
Well,
can I still say pussies? Can I say that?
It's just
unbelievable how people are nowadays.
Did you give her a second test? You know it's not a false positive?
What's no, you know, she had a flu shot a couple hours before that. That supposedly could be the source of a false positive, and she's going to go back in for testing again today. But, and she, you know, there's no symptoms anywhere here.
I'll bet you.
But you know,
bet you an adult
I'm assuming it's a good test. We'll find out today. But and as I said, if she has it, then I most certainly do.
I'm going to bet.
You know,
I'll bet you
get
an adult
over it. Move on.
Bet you an adult
no,
beverage.
No, it's not an excuse to stop working. It's not an excuse to stop thinking, and it's certainly not an excuse to blame other people. Just, and yeah. It's just amazing the, you know, what's happened to the fabric of people in general. Everyone's just such a victim. Everyone's a victim.
I'm going to say, Jeff, I'll bet you an adult beverage you don't have it.
Well, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. That'd be nice.
I
but you're on for that. That's a bet I'll always take.
Yeah.
Because that's a kind of win-win. So.
Yeah.
You're on.
I have one of our, he has a show contributor, a friend of mine forever. His wife had it back in February. Has the antibodies a little bit. He never got it. I'm convinced Audrey had it. And she was sick as a dog for 3 weeks in March. Before anybody even knew this thing was around. It was maybe February. And I never got it. I think somehow or another you and I might be in the lucky herd of the T-cell immunity class.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
There you go.
There's no way with me.
I'll let you know. You're on the short list.
Yeah, but there's no way on earth that in the last 5 months, by coming to work every day, that I haven't been exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means right. I had something before it, or maybe I had it when she had it, and I just didn't even know I had it. You know, it's possible. But I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but because you can't test for that those T-cells, but I'm going to say that at least two people in your family will not get it, even with her having it. So that's what the numbers are coming out as.
Yeah.
And anyway, you, this was 4 days ago. If you had it, you'd have a temperature already.
Right, you would think so, and zero symptoms.
Yeah. So, and you're not 25. So if you had
no.
it, I think you'd know. You know. I mean, your wife maybe not, and your kids probably not, but you... It's another assault on males, this disease, for God's sake.
Right.
It's not that we need another one of them. Everybody's assaulting us males these days, you know. What do? Except, like, pay the bills half the time, you know, most of the time. Just saying.
I think that whiteness has something to do with it.
Well, you know, I don't.
At least that's what I learned watching an NBA game last night. I mean,
yeah.
I got to tell you something too. And I don't care if I sound like an old fart because first of all, I'm not, and secondly, I think these observations are accurate. What is the NBA possibly thinking? You know, do they really think that those political messages on the back of players' uniforms are not going to turn off a significant portion of their viewing? I predict they are done. I predict that the NBA's viewer numbers are going to be so poor as a result of people just being appalled by it. You know, first of all, it's so out of context.
Yep.
It's so gratuitous to see these political slogans on the back of players' jerseys. It's so inappropriate on so many different levels, particularly when you factor in the fact that there's no freedom of speech involved here.
No, none whatsoever.
For example, if any player wanted to have free Hong Kong on the back of their jersey,
yeah.
that would not show up. That would not happen.
I love Taiwan.
So what are we dealing with here? These are sanctioned messages? Was George Orwell really the smartest person? Is he the Nostradamus of all time? I mean, it's unbelievable what we are seeing happen before our eyes here. So the NBA now is restricting speech and deciding what speech is appropriate and what isn't, and sports have become a political platform? Do they possibly think they're not losing audience as a result of this?
What do you mean by the NBA? Who's the guy? God, where's Kevin when you need him? Who's the guy who spoke out against Nike in the university?
Yeah, fire? The assistant manager of the Houston Rockets or something? And you saw it happen immediately there.
No, I'm talking about.
Oh well, no, that's the NBA.
College guy.
The China episode.
Yeah, it was a college guy that spoke out against Nike and the school fire
right.
because they're a Nike school.
Yep.
I mean, we're
I watched the game last night, Philadelphia, Boston, and there's just it was interesting. And then the other observation that you have to come to if you watch the game, you know, they're all wrestling with the optics of an empty stadium or an empty ballpark. So you've seen some put the, you know, the dummy people behind home plate. And the NBA did something really interesting. But there's such a great irony here. And it's kind of that life meets art or life replicates art irony. So the NBA has created these kind of digital personas, and they've shut off the stadium, so you look like you're playing it within a room, but with these digital images behind that, you know, represent people like watching the game, it looks very much like your kid playing NBA on Xbox. So now life and art imitating each other in reality, they've converged. This looks exactly like an Xbox game when you watch an NBA game now, because of the digital images that they're using as a backdrop. And that's pretty comical, actually. But there is no way that the results of this season, and of course it's tempered by the fact that, you know, people are watching more Netflix, but they're certainly not going to be watching more NBA games. I absolutely guarantee it.
It's insulting
to be preached political slogans during any type of sport game.
Well, especially when...
regardless of whether or not you agree with them. I mean, I'm the last person that would disagree with the notion that Black Lives Matter. I just don't need to be told it during a basketball game.
I would, this is certainly not politically correct, but I have an amazingly bad feel for that. Because I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to be like this, but I never did see color. I mean, if I were to put on a shirt that says White Lives Matter, it immediately, to me, it tells everybody else in the world that somehow they matter more than Asian, Indians, Blacks, which I don't feel they do. I feel everybody is equal, and I've always felt that way. So I think that the slogan is very ignorant. I honestly do. Because I always felt everybody's life matter. And to pull one out versus another, I mean, given what's happened for a little while, I'll roll with it, and I understand why people are doing it. But I mean, just in general, to throw, you know, people with blue eyes, lives matter. Well, okay, but what about people with brown eyes? I mean, or green eyes? They don't. I mean, what are you saying here? I mean, just the English of it, I don't like. I mean, am I wrong or not?
It's all optics. It's all ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the semantics. I agree with you on the semantics, but it's become a slogan, and you know it's hard to disagree with the notion that Black Lives Matter, and
you certainly can't disagree with the
legacy that has been racial inequality in this country. I mean, that's all apparent.
But don't
all lives matter? Yes. Do Black Lives Matter? Yes. I mean, it's a semantic rabbit hole I choose not to go down to. But I do know one thing: I don't need any multi-million-dollar NBA player telling me that.
Right.
I just don't need it.
No.
And I don't need my hyper-liberal friends. I live in the community of Evanston, and, you know, I'm the only true moderate in this community. I don't need them telling me this either, and I certainly don't need anyone telling me that. You know, I make my own decision. On any given day, there are more people of color in my home than the average person has in their home over a year or 5 years.
Right.
And that's just because of the community I live in and where my children go to school, and because I, like you, and 95% of the world out there, you know, don't see color. But if you turn in the Democratic Convention last night, when who was it, Biden or Sanders said, we're at a crossroads, economic calamity, healthcare calamity, and this nation confronting racial justice, named as the three top issues facing this country, and this has all been perpetuated, promoted, and fabricated, you know, just by electorate that's in a political party that is seeking to divide for the purposes of votes. We know what's going on here. And we'll see. You know, we'll see how this works. When I watched the convention last night, and of course I watched it all, despite how painful it was, because they've chosen to abandon ideas completely. Conventions used to be about people giving speeches about their ideas and their vision of the future. This was just a campaign telling us how bad this big orange man is, and that's all the convention was.
Yeah.
There was no great ideas for the future. There was nothing to inspire us. It was all about how bad
this miserable, admittedly, man is. Yet that that doesn't inspire an electorate, but that's how they choose to approach it. And I was thinking, well, if that's what the Democrats are going to do, I guess what the Republicans do should just run the same clip that CNBC ran about 2 hours ago about crime skyrocketing in the cities, murder, violent crime. Just show endless clips of people getting beat the shit out of on the streets of their city right outside their homes for the simple crime of walking out their front door. And show what's happened to the cities by Democratic leadership across this country. That could be the Republican convention, because now nobody has any positive vision of the future. All they want to do is speak negatively. So, you know, hey, listen, we're the consumer. We accepted this. We let another 4 years go by and put these two clowns up for office. And, you know, we get what we deserve.
I'm not so sure that people somehow, the education system, you don't find people following it through. I mean, as Lou talked last week very eloquently about how we went from this idea that, you know, everything was just, we just did test scores, okay? And we just said, all right, it's not the, we don't guarantee, you know, and this, you know, this was wrong, probably, but we don't guarantee, equality of outcome. We're trying to guarantee equality of, opportunity, right? Which is always a little difficult. Everything's difficult. And to the end where we don't have as many, this group of people making it to this school, and oh, by the way, this group doesn't do as well on the SAT as this. And there's reasons for it. Maybe the education. But now that group is asking us really to turn the whole bus around, and instead of preferencing one group, they really want to preference another group. And I don't know that, I mean, I was going through the demographics in this country the other day, and I was listening to CNBC all day, and I'm going to say that there's more Hispanic people in the country now than African American. You'll never hear anybody talk about making sure you got a Hispanic person on every board. And we have almost maybe two-thirds as many Asians. Talk about people you never hear about.
How about it?
They have to be the most educated people of all of us.
That's true.
The whole group. Nobody ever even talks about we need to have an Asian person on a board. Nobody cares. I mean, it's all.
Yeah. And then look at what Harvard does.
Yeah. You know,
talk about discrimination.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It used to be that, back in the day, if you had a straight-out system of just let all the smart kids stay in Michigan before the Asians got here, you were half Jewish, right? Yeah. Because the Jewish people have always put a huge positive on education, and their kids always did real well. I mean, on the one hand, you like to see that happen. On the other hand, the other people are saying, hey, you can't have 90% of the Jewish people there just because their kids studied. Well, their kids studied. What do you want me to say? I mean, it's very, when you go down this road, it's all about money. It's all about programs. It's all about people getting the dough. And it's all about minority set-asides and those kinds of things. And there's a few people that get an appreciable share of that money. And it's not like any black guy can walk in and get, it's like, the interesting part is that, you know, some of the people on TV make it sound like every white person can walk in and get a board spot. I can't get one. You can't get one. There's a pecking order if you and I didn't go to the right boarding school or our dad wasn't in the right spot, we're not going to get on IBM's board. Who's kidding who? Right? So it's not like, it's sort of like when women complain about disparity in salary in the workforce. There's been disparity in salary in the workforce, not just among women, but among men, among everybody, for 50 years. I mean, it's probably worse, but it's not like that when you talk to every guy has been somehow pushed ahead. When I worked for corporations, I never made anywhere near as much as guys, other people that never did as good a job as me. And there was no way ever to catch up except go get another job. And the guys who were smart changed jobs every 3 years. I never did that. I had too much loyalty for that. But, I mean, that's the only way you can get your salary up, right, in those days. Didn't matter if you were a guy, if you were black, if you were male, female, whatever. You were paid based on what you were paid the place that you came from, right? I mean, salaries have always sucked. I mean, how many people do you know got a big promotion 20 years ago and the salary range for their new job was like, you know, 100 to 125, and they're making 50, and they go, well, I guess you can live with 55 for a while. Corporations, they're equal opportunity chiselers when it comes to paying people. It's not like they pick somebody out because they're female or black. They'll screw the white guy just as easily. I mean, I don't know, we insulted everybody here this morning, I think, Jeff. Anyway, the big news this morning is Walmart was up $9. Now it's down a buck. That's really a big turnaround. SP Futures up 5 cents.
Yeah, and that's their biggest earnings beat in 30 years.
Yeah.
So that's interesting trading.
Jeff, when's the new magazine?
NASDAQ just hit a record high, too. Yeah. So, right.
When's the new magazine coming out?
Next magazine is coming out Thursday, so the, you know, obviously print is only going out to subscribers, and newsstand distribution is very limited during pandemic, but if you go to getluckbox.com, you'll receive free digital issues for the next 10 issues of Luckbox magazine. And our next issue is actually really interesting. We look at Fiverr, the company, you know, the public company that's kind of like the Amazon of freelancing. We look at the podcast industry, the evolution from radio to podcasting. And one of the best interviews I think I've ever been involved with was with Norm Pattiz. He's the founder and CEO of Westwood One Radio.
Wow.
Which from a $200,000 investment became the largest network, radio network in America. You know, getting up to 600 million in revenues 30 years ago,
if you can imagine.
So this guy's an absolute pioneer. He sat out satellite radio because he just didn't get it, and he's jumped back into podcasting in a big way with a company called Podcast One. So we talked to Norm at length. We look at vinyl's resurgence, you know, Dusty Groove's record store in Chicago. We took a look at that. We look at the company Fiverr. We take a look at using dice and the role of the dice to calculate the probability of
Jeff,
both catching and dying from the coronavirus, which has become a topical issue.
Hey, on Thursday.
It's really a fun issue. So getluckbox.com. Maybe, next issue comes out Thursday.
Maybe Thursday we'll have you on for like a couple minutes to talk about it. We got a dash right now, though. SP Viewers up 575. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, AV. Back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.